Gareth, try to add in things you're both knowledgeable and passionate about. Wait, no, I'm reading out the running order. Ignore that bit. That's just for the producer. This is Noise Cancelling, the tech podcast, where we talk about things that are to do with tech, but also gaming, which is relevant to this week in episode 65. Before we talk about that, who's here?
Cherie L. Smith, editor-in-chief of Laptop Mag.
Adam Vajestica, senior gaming writer on Tech Radar.
And Sam Loveridge, global editor-in-chief of Games Radar.
I get the and Gareth Beavis, global editor-in-chief of Tech Radar. Thank you. You know, it's like that bit at the end of the...
But you're famous, Gareth, so it's all right.
That's why, you know, it's when you get like the order of actors and cast and stuff at the start of it, they say at the end, and starring blah, blah, blah. You know, just because it's like, and we've also got this person. So they're very, very impressed. Actually, that's really unfair. Sam, you are an excellent guest to have on here. We've wanted you on for a long time. We're very excited that you finally managed to make it. Thank you for joining us. Games Radar, an excellent website, I think we all agree.
Mm-hmm.
And I
yes!
hope everyone who's listening to has enjoyed it. Sam's doing a fist pumping moment.
Yeah, I just remembered it's a podcast and people can't see me, so it's fine. Just ignore me.
So, as you're probably aware, Sam, because you're, of course, a massive fan, I've listened to all 65 episodes so far. Exactly. We start off with the big question. This week, well, every single site, it seems, has suddenly realized that people want to know about cryptocurrency. It's very confusing. There's blockchains, there's decentralized ledgers, there's, you know, dogs, cats. Michael Owen, the footballer in the UK, has got his own cryptocurrency. It's quite a mishmash of things, but...
I did not know that.
Did you not?
Non-fungibles, are they different? I don't understand.
Let's not get into the non-fungible tokens, because that's even more confusing. It's like literally anything could be sold for millions of pounds. So just skip over that one. But the big question this week is, given the fact that anyone can seemingly start their own cryptocurrency, what would you name your own cryptocurrency and why? So we're going to start with Sam. Sam, welcome to the podcast. What is your cryptocurrency and why?
I'm going to call it Pokecoin because it feels like that should be one that already exists. And I feel like some of them raise money for like good causes as well as being like a currency, right? I might be wrong in that, but
that's true. There's like, the ocean coin and stuff where trying to save the
that's
oceans.
What I thought. So I thought because Pokemon are like species that are trapped in captivity inside the Pokeballs, then the proceeds from Pokecoin should go to help endangered animals that are kept in captivity. So that would be my cryptocurrency. And you can make it really cute with Pikachu's face everywhere, which, you know, why don't you want that?
I wonder if you're allowed to do that, because obviously Dogecoin was a meme made into a cryptocurrency and now is just the big thing.
I feel like Nintendo would have something to say about it.
Yeah, I feel like that's the thing. They would take a cut, so you don't want that.
Just call it Pokecoin instead and then be like, it's definitely not a rip-off of Pokemon. Definitely not.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Pokecoin. Cherie, what are you thinking?
Because headphones are life, which means music is life. I would call mine Jamcoin, and the proceeds would go to music and arts programs throughout the world.
That's good.
Okay. Oh, that's just nice.
Got to stick with your passions.
Yeah, I know. And if everyone hasn't seen just the amount of great work that Cherie does, it is incredible. Just mentoring high school students, making good things happen in the world. You know, if you're not following Miss Smith 11 on Twitter and find out about all these great things, you should be doing that. And that's a sneaky peek into what's going to be happening later when we tell people our Twitter handles. Adam, over to you.
So my cryptocurrency would be based on the popular chocolate bar Freddo. So it'd be Freddo coin. And the reason is, in the UK, we seem to use the Freddo chocolate as like the barometer to measure the cost of living and inflation rates in the UK. And everyone as a child remembers what Freddo's cost when they were younger.
10p.
And 10p, yeah, that's the real price. But now they're up to 30p, if not more, which is a disgrace.
What?
Yeah.
And are you shitting me?
And having a Freddo coin would just be great because that's what everyone kind of uses it for anyway, to like judge how everything's going.
True.
And it's a great mascot too.
But equally, if, you know, admittedly, mine was 20 years ago, and I know that's a lot of money to go up, but if it takes 20 years for it to rise 200%, that's not the greatest investment I've ever
done.
But
if Elon Musk got behind it, take a lot less time.
Yeah, but if it's like a coin that literally tracks the price of Freddo bars, then you're basically screwed.
Well, there's room for expansion. It'd start off as that, and then as it gained in popularity, people could actually start investing in it.
Freddo's will be 20 quid by the end of the week. You watch.
imagine if it went the other way around, like it tracked the rate of inflation the other way. That'd be awful.
I mean, a great idea nonetheless. I think we're all
it is a great idea, and you're right. Although for me, the real barometer of like how much things were penny sweets.
Yeah.
You know, the fruit salads, your blackjacks. And they're now called, I don't know, they're now worth, I don't know what it is, but it won't be one penny. Yeah, £1 sweets. Okay, what mine's going to be is, well, I took the whole you can use this to raise money for things and went with that one because I thought that's really good. And I thought, you know what I'd really like when I die? A crypt. Like, I don't think there's enough people that have crypt anymore, but I definitely couldn't afford one because they're for the baller. So I'm like, mine's just going to be called cryptocurrency, where you help me build a crypt. And I won't need very much money. If everyone does it, it'd be great. But that's the kind of thing that we want. And so I feel like the crypto will make it much easier. And I'll probably do well on Google as well, because people will type it in and be like, oh, this is the best one because it's called crypto. So there you go.
That's very good. Very savvy.
Thank you. I'm going to give, well, I have to give the points to Cherie because her answer was so worthy and wonderful. But really, I want to give them to myself. Sam, welcome to the Gadget Hall of Fame. You're going to creak open the door. Sound kind of like a crypt. I like it. I'm getting into this. I'd say it's given the fact it's basically the size of a hangar, we haven't got much in there still yet, but there are two sections. In one section, there's lots of great things like the barcode battler version that James Peckham brought in, the shoes with the stopwatch on there. And over in the corner, in a skip waiting to be set on fire, are Matt Swider's headphones. So what are you bringing in and which part are they going to go into?
Hopefully not in the skip.
It's a possibility.
So I've been playing Pokemon Snap recently and it reminded me how much I loved the original Game Boy printer.
Ooh.
Complete with the camera that used to slide in the back of the Game Boy with like a little ball at the top that had the camera on. And I used to take so many pictures, and then they discontinued like the little sticky tape roll that you put in the printer.
Shocker.
And it made me so sad, but I loved that it was like, you know, the vision of the future, but in the 90s or early 2000s. And you know, the idea that I can't do that now. I mean, I'm so close to buying that Instax printer for new Pokemon Snap, I can't tell you, but I'm like, I don't need a £110 printer just for Pokemon Snap, but I'm this close. But yes, the Game Boy printer is one of my treasured childhood memories. And I mean, I had every Game Boy accessory going, but it was that one and the ability to sort of like print off, you know, early screenshots, I guess, and really blurry pictures of my friends with like horrible stickers on them. It just takes me right back.
If you had to choose one and you could only bring either the Game Boy printer or the Game Boy camera.
The printer.
Which one would you go?
Because I love stickers.
But you can't print anything because you haven't got the camera.
But Gareth, you can still print stuff. Wasn't there a game attached to it? So you could like just make little pictures and like cartoons and stuff and then print them off.
I remember it being like you could just print, you could take pictures of yourself or people and do stickers around them. But I thought it was only linked to that. I don't really remember. I was quite young, so yeah. I didn't have Google to work out how everything worked. Although I must say that you've had two questions, and both of them being Pokemon related, and above your head, which no one can see, is a Pikachu.
That's fine. He's actually got a little clocky tail. Look at him go.
I love him.
I used to have a different chair so you could see him, and now you can't, but I need to move my desk around. But
for long-time fans of the podcast, people remember something that I'm still scared about, that behind her Cherie has got a Furby on her shelf, but it's been dormant for 5 years and it just suddenly started speaking after we started talking about it.
I mean, I'm still alive. So yeah, one episode we started talking about it and like it came alive and I thought I was gonna die, but I'm still here. I'm still alive. I have not been possessed and there have not been any paranormal activities or anything of the like. So you know, we're good.
The Game Boy print is 100% going in. It's nostalgia to the max.
Yeah.
Love it. What was your first gadget though, Sam?
My first gadget, well, like of all time, or gaming gadget. I mean,
obviously not like legally, but in terms of memory, what do you remember the first thing getting?
I remember my grandfather having like the Game & Watch, the plumber one.
Grandfather?
Yeah, my grandfather. Is that really posh?
No.
That's a cool grandfather.
No, just more the fact that, just the demographic of...
He was very cool. Like he loved anything techie, especially if it was to do with like planes. He was a big fan of Flight Simulator and things like that. So I think, stealing that off him when I used to go visit him was like, I think the first time I sort of experienced games generally. And that seems to be like my earliest memory of tech generally, apart from my dad's massive car phone.
Which was such a dangerous thing in hindsight.
massive brick while you're driving. That's fine. Yeah. It's all good.
There's also something so cool about the fact that you've, like, you know, you sort of in the olden days when you had that big pickup phone that made a big click, and like, and you're driving, you're like, hello. Like, it just so much, you know, obviously so much safer than a phone, mobile phone, where you have to like look down and swipe it. But just the idea of like, hello, yes. You know, especially if you've got like a self-driving car nowadays, that'd be much better. I like it a lot. I had the Game and Watch, but I had the Tetris one, and I was the opposite way around. Like, my mum used to be like, can I have your watch? So she could then just go and play Tetris under a lamp, because it didn't have a backlight. So it was just at night time, she was under a lamp just playing Tetris on the watch. And yeah, very different times. Cherie, did you ever have any of that paraphernalia when you were younger?
Gaming watches, yeah. Like, I had a lot of those.
Plural. And so a whole arm of them.
Because I was a clumsy child, and like, things would get broken or lost. So theoretically, like, yes, in the grand scheme of things of how many times it got replaced, but typically it was like one or two at a time.
The fact you said one or two is just cool in itself. So yeah, just bring one into the Gadget Hall of Fame. We'll see what they can do. Like, just all together, I feel like that's a possibility. Adam, how about you?
I think I still have my Game Boy camera and printer, but obviously, like Sam said, the roll cannot be found anywhere. I remember taking it with me on a holiday to Mallorca and just taking awful photos of my mum and really annoying her with it. And just, yeah, it was yellow. It matched my yellow Game Boy. It was great. And I miss it.
It was so rubbish, but so good.
It was so rubbish, but yeah, it was amazing. And I think on that holiday, the reason why I remember that in particular is because there was an eclipse happening at the same time.
Ooh.
And everyone was like, ooh, you know, let's watch the eclipse, obviously not stare at it, but use one of those pinhole things and you can see. And I was just like, nah, I'm just going to play with my Game Boy. And I did.
Take a picture of eclipse through the Game Boy camera. That really
I'm now blind, but I got the greatest picture.
I do think you can still buy the Game Boy printer stuff.
Can you actually?
You couldn't back in the day.
Does it cost more than Freddo's?
Well, it does. I mean, yeah, it's £10, £21.60, sorry, right now. But yeah. Yeah, tell me if that's the right one. Anyway, that's enough Game Boy chat for this week, because we're going to talk about... Oh, wait, we're going to talk about gaming again. Right, so the what's going on this week, which Cherie has definitely thought of a jingle for.
No, I haven't, but here's a good try. I don't know what's going on, because I've been trying to come up with this theme song for weeks. So here's my best tip at what's going on. Boop, boop.
Pretty good.
That was amazing.
That's really good. And you know what's really good about it is you've got to try and remember to do it again next week, just like that.
That's what we're going to do. I'm just going to keep winging it. We're going to keep trying out tunes until I settle on one and it feels comfortable. That's what we're doing.
Do different genres each week as well.
Yeah. And we'll get Chris Barraclough back in to do, like, you know, the throat metal again.
Oh, God. Oh, Chrissy B.
So this week we are talking gaming, which is why we have gaming royalty on in the shape of Sam and Adam. But let's start off with the obvious question. We've done it with the Game & Watch, I suppose. But what was your first console, Adam?
Well, the first console...
Well, let me tell you.
Yes, let me go back in time. No, the first console I owned was the Sega Mega Drive, otherwise known as the Sega Genesis, which I still think Mega Drive is a better name. I'll fight anyone who thinks Genesis is better.
So much better.
Yeah, I remember it was one Christmas. I opened it up. It came with a copy of Aladdin and Sonic the Hedgehog. And it was probably the best day of my life, because it completely shaped what I wanted to do, what I do all the time. I'm obsessed with gaming, and I have been since. And I think my dad slightly regretted it after I opened it. He thought, what have I done? There go the grades. There goes my dreams of him being a lawyer, even though I did get a law degree, Dad. But yeah,
but
the
safe.
But I'm not a lawyer. That's why secretly we don't talk. No, we do. And he loved the Mega Drive as well.
I got dark.
It always does with me. He loves the Mega Drive as well. It was a great console. I had so many games.
How old are you when you got it?
I don't even know. Like, I'm terrible with dates. This is a thing. Like, I'm absolutely, yeah, when someone's like, oh, when did this come out? Do you remember this? I don't know. I was just there for it, and I was definitely a part of it. But yeah, I don't know. I definitely got it later on. Obviously, I wasn't there for launch.
It's a very different complexion if, like, you got your Mega Drive when you were 21.
The perfect time to get a Mega Drive. You know, I got the Mega Drive Mini recently, so technically I got that one.
And it's shit.
No, it's not. It's good.
I don't know. None of the classic consoles have been like what they hoped they would be. They're just like, they don't bring anything back, because you need the kind of the rubbishness of the console.
Yeah, nostalgia is a very fickle thing, isn't it? Sometimes it's great, yeah. Other times it's terrible. But yeah, the Mega Drive. But
it's not what it used to be.
I remember playing people's Master Systems before that, and NESs or NESs and stuff like that. But yeah, the Mega Drive. I was a big Sega boy, then Nintendo boy, and now I'm everything.
And please don't tell me that you enjoyed Aladdin over Sonic.
Aladdin was an impeccable game.
And it was actually
the best
a brilliant game.
Movie franchise game, along with The Lion King, which obviously.
Oh my God, no, that Lion King game was horrible. Just getting to the tree stage.
It was rock.
Yeah, hard. Like.
The Stampede stage, yeah. I mean.
Stampede stage was brilliant. Like, genuinely, like, beautiful.
Lion King is a lot harder than Returnal. Like, I know people think Returnal's hard. Play Lion King if you want to get put in your place.
We should get our video producer to do that. Like, you split screen, you and Vic Hood, our game editor, she plays Returnal, you play Lion King, and so you can get through it first.
Be there for months.
We would have to switch as well, because Returnal, I kick ass at that game. I've only died 11 times, completed twice. Yeah.
All right.
I'm one of those.
Hashtag humble brag.
Exactly. Make it harder, Sony. Come on.
Yeah.
Come house, Mark. Games are too easy now.
Oh, wait, there's a version here to make it hard. Oh, I'm not going to do that. That's too easy. Okay, Sam, what about you? What's your first console?
You're going to hate me because it's more Nintendo, I'm afraid. I didn't actually have like an actual console until PS1, which is probably shameful seeing as what I do now for a living. But Game Boy Pocket came, I got it in 1997, I think, so I was 9. And it came with Metroid, and I was just like, oh, girl in a game, this is amazing. So that was it. I was sold, and from then on just got totally addicted to Pokemon Red, and Kirby's Dream Land was a particular hit as well.
You mean Pinball, but anyway, yeah.
What?
Kirby's Pinball was the OG.
Kirby's Pinball was also very good. So there was actually quite a lot of pinball games on Game Boy that were really, really strong.
Yeah.
Oh, Pinball, Kirby's Pinball, like, I just played it for so many days. Like, it was just, and it's so simple, and it was just so good.
Kirby's just one of the best. He's just an all-round good little blob,
he's
man.
A lovely boy.
And he was a proto Pokemon.
Yeah, he totally was. But yeah, I think, I was always a handheld girl. That sounds weird. until the PlayStation came along. Let's just gloss over that one and move on. But yeah, I had every single Game Boy and now the Switch, so always been obsessed with Nintendo handhelds and PlayStation and all the other handhelds that have been a thing, just because like we traveled a lot when I was a kid, and it was just, I remember trying to play the Game Boy in the back of the car on the motorway, like in between the street lights, being a little bit more on the way back from my grandma's house.
So which Harvest Moon doing that, I don't know.
did you have the original Game Boy?
Like, no, my friend had it, and I was like, I actually said to all my family, I don't want chocolate one Easter. Can I have a Game Boy instead? So every single one of my family like just deposited the money they would have spent on like the two or three quid that they got were going to spend on an Easter egg and gave it to my family. And I got the Game Boy, which I think was way better than about 10 eggs. So
it was way more than like 50 eggs.
Yeah.
You got a good deal out of that. Well done. I mean, turning Easter into a present holiday. Well. That is genius. I mean, it shows how old I am that I got a Game Boy, the original one, late for my 11th birthday. Like, as in, like, it'd already been going for a while. And I think, you know, Wario Land was out number 3 by that point for Super Mario. So it was like, things have been going on. But mine was the proper, you know, the grey monochrome
screen. The chunky boy.
Yeah, but then I had the magnifying glass clip on top.
Yeah.
That had a light into it, and then the bottom you clipped on some extra speakers. Like, it was proper, like, chunky.
Pimp My Game Boy was, like, all the rage back then. The little curly-whirly reading lights that you put
on,
as well.
Yeah. So good.
And if Dad is listening to this podcast, which he often does, I'll chat to you this weekend, Dad. We were in France one year, and they had a solar charger for your Game Boy.
What?
I was like, oh my God. Yeah, like, it was just like a solar panel. I mean, it probably would have been absolutely rubbish. He's probably right to not let me have it. But to this day, I'm still just gutted that I never got it, because it was so sunny. I'm like, I could charge this anywhere. Like, literally, it'll never run out of power. And he was like, no, 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 you can't have it. No. And I was like, I did the same as you. I bartered and like, look, I won't have any of this. I won't have any of that. I just want this. And I'm, you know, it's like 25 years later and I'm still like, I really want it.
I would have been intrigued whether it would have like worked properly.
It wouldn't have. I mean, even now, I mean, if we want to get into photovoltaic efficiency, we're only just about the level that could handle it. So I don't think it would have been very good, but theoretically amazing. Cherie, what was your first console?
Again, Nintendo, the original NES. I was 6 years old at the time, but the first console that I was ever exposed to was an Atari 2600 in the likes of Pong. So that ignited my love of gaming. Then my cousins got the NES. And I was like, I want it. I need it. I needs it. Need. Give. And that was the best Christmas ever.
Ever.
With what game?
It was the Super Mario Brothers Duck Hunt combo.
Literally, our stories are exactly the same, apart from I was seven. But I had that with the combo, and my first exposure was to a Pong game, which my mum had when she was younger. And I found it, or she brought it back from my nan's or something, and played it. And Dad eventually fixed it, so it worked. And yeah, I played that for a bit on the TV. I was like, this is all right. And then when I was seven, I got that with the... Did you have the light gun as well?
Yes!
Ah, so good. Yeah. What was the second game you got in the NES or the NES?
Solomon's Key.
Mine was Turtles. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Oh. And my God, that was a good game. Mm-hmm. I got Festus Quest and it was rubbish and I took it back.
Yeah, that sounds bad.
Yeah, I've never even heard of it, which is not a good sign.
Yeah, I love Uncle Fester like on a quest. Yeah.
There's a game I got on PlayStation called Cheesy. And it's a mouse who goes around this weird dungeony laboratory, and it's probably one of the worst games I've ever played. And you think, looking back, well, it was going to be. It was called Cheesy.
Was it with a Z as well, or just?
I don't think it was. I don't think they went that far. But I think it had like load screens. I know we're in the age of SSDs now on the new consoles, but it had load screens literally like every transition per level. It was awful. YouTube it.
You know what we should have done for the big question now? I think about it: the worst mascots.
Ah. What do you mean, like the characters from games?
Yeah, like Bubsy immediately comes to mind.
I knew you were going to say Bubsy.
You knew it! I had to!
I can't think of a bad one.
Oh, there are so many.
Do you remember Zool? He was cool.
Yeah, or he was cool.
Gex the Gecko?
Gex was awesome.
Oh yeah, he's pretty awesome.
Croc's amazing. We need another Croc game. Bring that back.
Legend of the Gobbos.
Right. Let's skip past what used to happen, just because we're just essentially saying, making sounds, not even words anymore to some people listening to this. Gex, Gobbo, bleh. And let's talk about things that we've actually done as in our grown-up worlds. Adam.
No such thing.
Yeah, I know, right? We're just pretending. We're masquerading as adults, as children. But
Kadolphin knife!
Gaming events. Like, yes. How many have you done? What's been the worst situation you've ever been in when you've been around people trying to show you games all at once?
I've been to quite a few. My first ever gaming event as press was an event Game used to do. I think it was called Game Fest, the retailer in the UK Game. And I remember the worst part of that event was, to be honest, the whole arena just smelled very, very wrong and very bad. And that was the lasting impression I got from that. I've since had much better experiences. I've been to the Tokyo Game Show 3 times. But sadly, even though that was my best experiences there, it was also one of the worst because when the PS4 was first coming out, they decided to show it there and the queues were just absolutely insane. And I was like, I'm here, I'm going to queue for them. I queued for Knack. I queued 2.5 hours for Knack.
Not for Knack.
And not only did I queue 2.5 hours for Knack, my back like seized up and it led to the fact that when I got back to the hotel in Akihabara, I had to have a massage, but it led to the best ever massage I've ever had. This old lady turns up with a towel and she's like, okay, massage. I was like, yeah. And she just did it like a shiatsu massage all through the towel on this tiny little bed. And the TV was blaring away. And it's, to this day, the best massage I've ever had. And I also played Knack.
So you can blame Knack for your best massage, basically.
Yeah, so it was like the worst thing, but the best thing at the same time. So yeah, TGS is still the best event for me. Still want to go to E3 one day, but obviously that's not been possible recently. But yeah, I love Tokyo Game Show. It's so busy, but it's there's nothing quite like it.
I mean, this is completely nothing to do with gaming, but that reminded me of the actual worst massage I've ever had.
God.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't like take a weird turn. But I was in, I went to Jakarta. It's such a bad story. I went to Jakarta because I was trying to run at all four corners of the globe for like this big running challenge. And one of the, so I needed to run in all four quadrants of the globe. And that's the thing I hadn't done. I was on a press trip in China. I was like, right, I'm going to do a short hop over the water to Jakarta. It was the easiest one that had a half marathon going. Off I went. And long story, but I genuinely got really drunk the night before the half marathon. Got in really late, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, how do you accidentally get drunk?
Oh no, this booze just keeps pouring itself down my throat. Oh no.
I've seen off some sambuca.
No, I went out with this running group to do like this kind of like weird orienteering run, like where I got lost in the jungle of Indonesia, like genuinely lost, like started to shit myself, thinking what I'm going to do, then realized that my phone had signal, so I just looked on Google Maps and tweeted a photo. And it was just like that moment of like sheer panic. You're like, shit, I'm just so disconnected. Oh no, it's fine. Just a complete drop back down again. Anyway, got back to there. It turns out it's a running and drinking group. And I was like, no, I can't do it. I've got the half marathon tomorrow. It's fine. It's fine. They're like, well, you've got to do these two beer shots. I'm like, beer shots don't count because they're just nothing. And it was that kind of like, it was because it was a game. You get to that point where you don't realize you're starting to get too drunk and your susceptibility to more is just diminishing. And it got to like 2 o'clock and I was like, I'm absolutely wasted. Like, yeah. This is, and the race started at 5:30. So I did it. And I did it and got drunk and it was horrible, and luckily I was okay, and I woke up and I was genuinely on the start line shaking with fear, thinking it's at 5:30 because it's so hot in this country, so I'm just like, what's the worst way I could get ready for this? I was like, stapling my eyes shut or this. And luckily about 4 kilometers in it started to pour with rain. I was like, yeah, fuck yes. So got
the cleansing rain.
Just running with your mouth open.
I got through it, and then I got back to a hotel. I was like, right, I'm just going to find, there was just like this complex, I'm going to find a massage. Fine, off we go. I went in and I said, massage? Like, yeah. I was like, that sounds positive so far. And they were watching Blade 3, which was just, you know, just amazing. Ooh, in itself.
As they do.
Yeah, exactly. And then just as he finished, he's like, right, I'm going to use this stone for strength. And I was like, all right, cool, do what you want. Have fun. And he said, right, it's a bit red. Don't worry about it though. It will calm down. And I said, all right. Not a problem. Got back. I'm going to share my screen with you now. This is what happened.
That was all over.
It's like, it looks like, for the listener, like I've fallen off a motorbike and scraped down the road.
Oh,
I genuinely couldn't feel
God.
A single thing.
Jeez.
Genuinely couldn't feel a single thing.
God.
It was just that.
Could you smell your skin burning?
No, no, it was fine. It was, and I got, like, I saw it. I was like, ran into the room. I was like, oh no, I'm already, you know, I'm still coming down from drink.
That
and
is shocking.
I got a white towel out and laid down on it, and there was no blood or anything. I was like, what is happening? And he said it'll be faded by tomorrow. He was a liar.
Oh my god,
is it still there?
No, exactly. I did go to a doctor about it though, and he was like, no, you're fine. It hadn't gone down when I got back.
Was this the drinking doctor?
No, it was a different one. I completely derailed stories about international travel. Sam, have you been to E3? Have you been to E3? You've been 4 billion times. What's the best
times.
Thing that's ever happened to you there?
The best thing?
E3
I think,
being the gaming conference around the world.
I think just going for the first time. I was like a big kid in a candy shop. I just couldn't believe I was there. So it'd been like, you know, the sort of mythical Disneyland for so many years. And just seeing, like, you know, Just Dance in the middle going, and just all the games being there, and it generally felt like a dream come true. And like, I was just like, someone's gonna pinch me at some point and go, get out, you shouldn't be here. But yeah, I think just going was just the highlight, and anything else that happened there was just like, oh, this is just an added bonus, seeing the games before release and chatting to all the developers, and just seeing people from the industry. It's always like the you know, a big gathering of people you haven't seen for ages as well. So it's just like, it's just all ticks, apart from the hangovers and being really stressed and being hot all the time. I'm very much a cold weather person. But it is generally a really good time.
But what's the worst thing that's ever happened there?
The worst thing? One of our colleagues' badges got cancelled. By mistake, so there was a massive panic. Ooh. About the fact that she travelled all the way there and it maybe wasn't going to happen, that she wouldn't be able to get in. So that was like probably
it wasn't
the worst
you though
thing.
So it's fine.
It wasn't me, no, but I'm a worrier, so anything that happens makes me panic. But yeah, I don't think I have any bad experiences. Someone like fainted after a VR like demo, which was pretty scary, but nothing bad has happened apart from, you know, bad smells that Adam was talking about. That's usual for gaming conferences, really.
Sadly.
Yeah, this is all good. It's all good.
So, Shree, you've been to E3. Do you think it's going to happen again? Or is it gone for good?
Now that CES is back, everything else is coming back. I cannot wait. I live for shows. I have been dying to take my new staffers, my babies around the world. It's one of the best things about being a tech journalist, and I have not been able to do it. And I am so excited to A, take them to CES, because it ain't a CES party unless I am there. I know how to I make CES so much fun. Anyone that's ever been to a CES with me will testify to this statement. I know all the secrets. We work hard. We play hard. It's amazing time. And CES is my favorite show. So I'm always hyped about CES. But like E3 is most definitely coming back. I'm hoping that this time around that they will bring it back to press only, because with COVID and all that, they don't need all those people. Just make it about the press like it was meant to be.
I mean, we've been through this before, but I completely disagree about CES. Vegas is just not a nice place.
Nope, I love it. That's the only way I will go to Vegas. I do not believe in Vegas any other time. Like,
okay.
It's just a myth. Every other time of the year.
It's just a desert, yeah.
Like, I have shot a AK-47. I've gone bungee jumping. I've been in a Formula One race car. I've been in more limos than I can count. I eat great food. I've seen Drake. I've seen Earth, Wind & Fire. I've seen Sheila E.
I've literally done
can
none
I
of
come
this.
To see with you.
I want to come, yeah. I have seen Earth, Wind & Fire before, but I want to go again.
Like, the only time I missed out on CES is that we were doing Best Of during a concert when Kendrick Lamar was performing, and I was so hurt. I'm like, no!
I once saw Tiesto, and he took so long to do a drop, I nearly cried. That was it. That was the only thing. It just went on for so long. I was like, I don't know if I can see anymore, that it's just so upsetting that this has been going for like 2 minutes. So,
but my E3 moments are just as good. Like, oh, yeah. I always meet celebrities at E3. My first E3, because I'm a huge wrestling nerd.
Kendrick Lamar.
No, but I'm a huge wrestling nerd, as is most of the team on Tom's Guide and Laptop Mag. I met Sheamus. And I almost got into a fight with his security team because one of them shoved me, and New Jersey came out and be like, it was about to be on. And then I just see this huge alabaster ginger man. I'm like, oh my God, it's Sheamus. And he had just started wrestling, and he was like, oh my God, this black girl knows who I am. And we both had the biggest smiles on our face. That was awesome. Then another E3, I was coming out of a demo with NVIDIA. And it was so funny because I just I had taken a couple of the reps out for some drinks, and I drank them under the table. Everyone's like, "What did you do, Sheree?" I'm like, "I don't know what you're talking about," because I came in smelling like a rose, and I'm like, but like, word to the wise, it don't play drinking games with me. You will lose. But anyway, back to this story. So I get out of the demo, and who is walking down the corridor? None other than Austin Creed, aka Xavier Woods of WWE, The New Day, Up, Up, Down, Down. And he is shooting for Up, Up, Down, Down. And I'm like, oh my God, it's you. And he's like, oh my God, it's you. It was hilarious.
Are you saying that he knew who you were?
No, but he just played along. Okay. Because I just...
Okay, right, okay, good.
Because I was literally this random person. I'm like, oh my God, it's you. And he was just like, well, I'm going to do the same thing. It was hilarious. And I also have hung out with Reggie Bush and his lovely wife at E3 until like 4 a.m, having a great time. Like, listen, go to shows with me. You will not regret it.
I really want to. Please, can we make it happen, Gareth?
If we listen to the last, like, I thought this is going to be a really in-depth section around like the world of gaming and everything, but genuinely the best story I heard from you three was Adam queuing for Knack.
Oh, but like, I do have a Mark Cerny story though.
Okay.
Like, at South By, I'm like, I went to, Sony always has like this experimental booth thing. So Cerny was there, and he was doing
who is he for the listeners, just so everyone understands.
Mark Cerny is he made Knack, and he made a lot of big name games that are more popular and more beloved than Knack, very much so. And he is standing there putting people into a synthesia. I can't even say it right, but basically a sound as physical touch suit. So I am basically have speakers all over the place, and I'm playing Res Infinite, and every time I level up, like it's vibrating, there's all this sound, and like head to toe, just boop, 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 boop. Like, it was amazing.
Well,
that's pretty good.
KJ Inafune smiled at me at TGS. That's the crate of Mega Man. And I smile back. We had a moment.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know.
Honestly, that's like one of my favorite memories. How sad is that?
You want to come and get a massage? I know a great lady.
Look, that lady, she's probably not with us anymore, sadly, but she was a pro.
And like, speaking of massages, Fast Company used to have, I used to work at Fast Company in a past life. And every other Friday they would have, actually it was every Friday, they would have this massage guy come in and you would pay $10 because they would subsidize it. And you would get 30 minutes in an office and he would give you a massage. You would choose your music and he was the best. But he had a butt fixation. Like your butt would be so like, it would feel so free after the massage. Yeah. Like everything else felt great, but he would just spend a lot of time on the gluteus. And you'd be like, and we would all talk about this at the office. Like he is doing, because I'm like, I thought it was just me, but he just had this butt thing. So your butt, like you just walk out like floating, but your butt would really just be like
on another planet.
A good masseuse knows how to work the butt. And I've been to many chiropractors and they always tell me I carry a lot of tension in my glutes. So if they can work the glutes, it's good for me. I encourage it.
I'm genuinely trying to make this about gaming. It is impossible. Sam, PS5, is it better? 6 months on, is it any good?
I'm excited that games are coming out. It has felt like...
That's useful.
Difficult to sort of... Obviously the PS5 is a great console, but it's been hard to sort of... A, you can't blinking well buy it. Nope. And then there's not really been anything beyond that sort of November period where anything's really come out that you can go, oh, now you must buy a PS5. You know, Returnal is a great game, but it's definitely not going to be for everyone. But it seems like, weirdly, Ratchet and Clank, which I feel like has been quite a niche game for a long time, although one of my personal favorites, like, mm-hmm. is now the game everyone's talking about as going to be like the system seller. And thank goodness, because everyone needs to appreciate Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah. I love Ratchet and Clank. I have played every single Ratchet and Clank.
Me too.
And I am so excited to see this come back. But dear God, I need games. I need games for PlayStation. I need games for Xbox. Especially Xbox. Xbox, you've been buying up all these studios. Where are the games? Where are they? I need them.
It is a desert wasteland over on Xbox Town at the moment.
I'm not trying to disparage Game Pass. I love Game Pass. It's awesome. It is the future of gaming. But dear God, I need some new original IPs that are not third party. Help me, Xbox, please. But I just started Resi 8, and I am enjoying it so much. Poor Ethan in his hands. Ethan just does not get to have them. I don't. At this point, he just needs to get.
I don't know what's happening. Like Sam just did like an annoying motion on her hand, and everyone laughed.
We can't spoil it for you, but like, let's just say the protagonist, like he and his hands are constantly in trouble. It started with Resi 7, and it's just going through 8. And it's just like, man, at this point, you just need to get some cybernetics and call it a day.
Wear some gloves, mate. You know, like, you know, boys, bulletproof gloves or something. I don't know.
Something.
It's funny you say about the Xbox, because 6 months on, I was very much under the same pressure as a lot of people seem to be, like, the Xbox Series X felt nice. It felt quick and powerful, but obviously the games were lacking. However, because of Game Pass, because of FPS boost, because of Quick Resume, it's definitely the console I've been using the most. I just feel like, feels like every week Xbox has like some sort of announcement. And yes, I'm playing older games. And yes, it's games that have been enhanced, but it's nice. I mean, I am playing trashy games thanks to Game Pass, and I'm enjoying them. Like, I downloaded...
Cheesy.
No, somehow hasn't been made for the Xbox yet. But
Bester's Quest?
No, still. You can request it, though, I'm sure.
Castlevania?
That's probably on there. But I've been playing Second Extinction. It's not a great game, but because it's on Game Pass, it's one of those games which you just get a couple of mates, go and kill a load of dinosaurs and have a good time. While the PS5 is definitely more of like a waiting game for those big games, and obviously they come with a big price point. And I personally loved Returnal, but yeah, it's definitely not for everyone. But Ratchet & Clank is going to kick some booty.
Booty. And female Ratchet.
Yeah.
What's her name? Rivet?
Rivet.
Good name.
Great name.
I'm just trying to get involved in the conversation because I have no idea what's going on. I haven't got a new next-gen console. I was trying to help.
You had one.
I did, but I gave it to a child to make their Christmas after they were cruelly, theirs was scammed. So essentially,
how much did you overcharge for that?
I didn't overcharge, just sold it at price.
Yeah. We'll believe you.
Yeah, didn't even charge. didn't even charge for postage because I had to send it down to where I used to live. So,
you actually made it a loss.
It was one of those things where someone from school got in contact and they knew that we were doing the Piggott's Rice. They're like, we haven't spoken in ages, but this has happened. And I was like, baba, look, I just happened to accidentally have bought one. So here you go. And genuinely, it made their child's Christmas. And it's one of my greatest stories and you can't take it away from me. So there you go. But it was one of those things that was amazing because back at Christmas, the PS5s were so sought after and she was so worried that she parked outside her dad's house at night because that's where they're doing Christmas and like covered it up and like just snuck into the house so no one could see they had one in case, you know, someone
broken in.
Yeah. And she said like the neighbor next door saw them and she was like glaring at him like, shit, like someone knows that there's a PS5 in this house. They're going to alert the elders and the bandits will come.
It did feel like they were like hot property for a bit because they were. Because like we pre-ordered them here and obviously got one, thankfully, for review. So we had like a spare one. So I took it to one of our, you know, our writers so they had access to one. And it was like, I put it in the car and I like covered it up with the sheet. Because I was just like, well, what if I stop at a traffic light and someone sees it? Are they going to like steal it from me? I was just like, it's like a little spy carrying PS4s across Somerset.
I legit did the same thing. We had someone come round to check the boiler and I put a blanket over the TV and the consoles because it felt that rare and exclusive of like, I don't want anyone to know.
That doesn't draw any attention to
what no. Clearly there is something under that blanket and he probably wanted to know even more.
We had the same as well, like someone came around to like fix our boiler and he was just like, my partner also works for Games Radar. He's like, do you guys not get on? Like, why do you game in separate rooms? Like, is that, that's a bit weird. Like, shouldn't you just break up? He just could not get that it was like our jobs and stuff. And I was just like, no.
Just invading like, into your lives.
Sit upstairs on your own. And I was just like, no, you can game downstairs too.
Also, when I want a game, I want a game. I don't want to share. No.
Exactly. It was just very old-fashioned, bless him, but he just could not get his head around the fact we had like two gaming setups.
He remembers playing Festus Quest together hand in hand with his partner.
Joke's on you because that's not a two-player game, it's actually a single-player one.
You can watch though.
That, back in the days of the NES, you did not watch people play a game. It was so boring. It was like it wasn't like there was like a narrative to uncover. It was like, okay, you've jumped on the Goomba, it's squashed.
Me and my brother used to play together like single player because I would play the game because I was the better gamer, and he would help me figure out the boss fights because he was, still is to be honest by a long distance. But he would be like the boss figure outer as we called him.
And, is he actually a lawyer now and he's made it into law?
No, he's not. He's not.
Yeah, your dad's like, he's the good one.
No.
So before we have to move on to my new game, which I have yet to name properly, Sam, I'm going to ask you one of these four things, right? Answer any four of these questions. Number one, where is the Nintendo Switch Pro? Number two, is PC gaming still the place to play? Number three, is VR the future? Number four, is cloud gaming the future? Answer one of those questions.
One of them. Okay.
Yes.
I think Nintendo Switch Pro is coming this year. At least I really hope it is because my Switch is on its last legs, bless it. It sounds like a little jet engine. It's got the crack up the back. It's not doing well. Ooh. But he is my baby and I will not replace him. But yeah, there's so many rumors flying around that suggest that it has to be coming before Christmas. Nintendo's had a bit of a weird 12 months really in terms of, you know, big game releases last Christmas didn't really happen, so it feels like they've got to put all their eggs in like a pro basket, maybe with like a nice suite of first party games for Christmas. That's my prediction anyway.
Okay. And we in terms of the PS5 restock, just on my mind, just in terms of the Switch Pro, there was, what was it, Universal Display Corporation who make the screen, said that's going to come, and Nintendo hinted strongly at next gen console that they're working on, so it definitely is something in the mix. Whether it's the Switch Pro, we don't know, but it is time now for, I'm going to call it Beeble Trends, which is our take on Google Trends, where we look at what's happened each week, 10 different stories or 8 different stories this week, as that's how many our producer has put in, and you have to guess which topic is more popular, and we just go higher or lower, and it's a group decision, so you have to agree. So basically this is how it works on Google Trends. Out of 100, the most popular one is 100, and if it's less popular, it will be an order of magnitude less. So Resident Evil Village got a score of 12 in terms of being the most popular that week. So Resident Evil Village got 12.
This is for the last week. I thought it'd be higher than that.
Mm. I would have thought so too, but that's your benchmark, okay? So, and the reason obviously that story is in here because the reviews are in and everyone's talking about it and there's lots of reviews. That got a 12. But following that, Army of the Dead came out. First reaction called Snyder's latest film a thrilling, violent zombie film. Now, was Army of the Dead more popular or less popular?
Higher.
Than Resident Evil Village?
I definitely think higher. Everyone's loving a bit of the old Snyder right now, aren't they?
Higher, I guess?
No, it's lower.
Oh, I was going to say lower because I don't like Snyder.
So nine is less popular. So the higher the number, the more popular it is, just because my dad was confused about the game last week. Right, PSVR 2. News this week that Sony could ban inappropriate gestures on PSVR 2, whatever they are. Who knows? But I like the idea that this could happen. No thrusting or anything similar. Is PSVR 2 more popular or less popular than Army of the Dead?
I'm going to go less if Resident Evil got 12.
All right, I guess I'm going to go with the peer pressure.
You're right. It got one. It was absolutely no one gave a shit. The next one's going to be quite easy. Dogecoin. The price may finally go to the moon thanks to SpaceX. Is that higher or lower than one?
Higher. Can you go lower than one?
No. Only 22, though.
Oh.
22. So slightly the most popular so far, but not that much. Right. So Knives Out 2 on Netflix just cast a big MCU star. But we're not going for Knives Out 2. We're going for Netflix just to confuse things.
Ooh.
Oh, tasty.
Netflix. Is it higher or lower than Dogecoin this week?
Lower.
Oh. I'll go with lower then.
Do you think it's higher, Sam?
I think it's higher.
You were right. Much higher. Three times more popular this week was Netflix, just because people were like, what am I going to do? Just type in Netflix. There you go. This one's after Sam's heart. Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go. The creators are raising the bar for AR again. This was TechRadar's exclusive interview with Niantic this week, talking about how they're going to be improving the game and doing a lot of other different devices and games as well. Is Pokemon Go more popular or less popular than Netflix this week?
Less.
It is less, but only just. It's the second most popular.
Oh, wow.
Go Pogo.
Oh, yeah. Right. Pokemon Go with 50. So there you go.
Pikachu strikes again.
Yeah.
Two to go. Microsoft Edge's new money-saving feature might make you ditch Chrome. Oh,
no, it won't. It's got to be low. Exactly. Super low.
Low.
I use Edge, but it's low.
Call me Flo Rida because it's low.
It is lower. It's 31, but it's more popular than Dogecoin and Resident Evil.
That's crazy.
And then finally, Nintendo Switch Pro may have accidentally been confirmed. We talked about that. But just the Nintendo Switch, was that more popular or less popular than Microsoft Edge?
Oh, yeah.
More popular.
Wrong. It was lower.
What?
22. People cared more about Microsoft Edge than they did about Nintendo Switch.
I'm disappointed, people.
Switch.
I'll never get Google.
So, yeah, so in early order, the most popular thing was Netflix, followed by Pokemon Go, then Microsoft Edge, then Dogecoin joint with Nintendo Switch, then Resident Evil Village, Army of the Dead, and PSVR 2 that no one cared about. The results were taken at 4 p.m. on the 11th of May, 2021. There you go. Right, that leads us to the end of the podcast. It's been a good one. Thank you, Sam, for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
How can people get in contact with you or read more of your work if they wanted to?
On gamesradar.com, or I'm occasionally on Twitter at ApacheRose3, and yes, it is from the Red Hot Chili Pepper song, and I apologise.
That's fine. Cherie, same question.
You know, you can catch me on Twitter or Instagram at MissSmith11. That is M-I-S-S Smith, three S's, not four S's, not two S's, but three, the holy trinity of S's. You can also find my work on Laptop Mag. Please go there and check out my babies. They work incredibly hard. They do great work. We are killing it with the crypto right now, as well as the laptops, because there were a whole bunch of embargoes this week. So go there to read about them. Laptops, tablets, VR headsets, headphones, you name it, we do it. And as always, laptop then, laptop now, laptop forever!
I feel like I've undersold myself now. I need to channel Cherie now. We do like games and shit on Games Radio. Games
and Doctor Who.
Shit. Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, okay. Adam, how about you?
You can read my work on TechRadar, which is a fantastic, great website that I I'm obliged to say, but it is. And it has great spicy opinion pieces from myself about the gaming industry. Very spicy, very tasty.
So spicy.
You can follow me on Twitter at it's Mr. Products, and you can also follow my dog on Instagram at Lily the Sheep.
No.
What do you mean no? What do you mean
oh
no?
Oh my God! Puppy.
At Lily the Sheeb with an A pup. She's doing really well on there. Some great content. Please, yeah.
I'm not backing your influencer career.
What do you mean? It's her influencer career. It's nothing to do with me. She takes the photos of herself. She posts the captions.
Does she? Yeah. Did she create the account? Did she make the password?
Oh my God! Look at that face.
Yes.
That is the freaking cutest. She's got a new follower.
New follower already obtained. More important than my personal account.
Put the username, put the name in the chat so I can follow that. Oh my God.
But yeah, also Tech Radar.
Dogs, Tech Radar, everything else.
So I'm Gareth Beavis. You can follow me at Super Beav. It's not named after anything, but it's equally as embarrassing as Sam's is, but I'm living with it. I don't mind. You apologise for it. I'm fine with mine, so you know I don't ever have a problem with it. But yes, do follow me there because you won't get any tweets because I haven't done any for ages because that's so passé. But Tech Radar, that's all over Instagram, all over Tech Radar. No, that's already a thing. All over Twitter, all over Facebook. You should go there and follow those, and then go to the actual website where we do most of the work, and we try and do good stuff. I think we do achieve it, don't we, Adam?
We do, definitely.
In between the spice, especially. Thank you for listening to Noise Cancelling episode 65. I can't believe we've nearly got to 2/3 of a century. That's quite impressive, Sheree, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really a milestone that we can properly call, but I've only recently found out what episode we're on each week, so I'm really trying to lean into it now. Thank you for listening. If you do like this podcast, we really would like 5 stars on Apple. A review to say, oh, it's really good, and I'm not Gareth's dad would be lovely, so that would be nice. Although he is a supporter, thanks, Dad. Looking forward to speaking to you this week. But yeah, please do leave us a review. It really helps people find the podcast. We're very proud of it, and we will speak to you all next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.